the name of the Lord be magnified. Hallelujah. Come on, let's magnify the Lord. Let's exalt His holy name in the temple of our God. Hallelujah. In the temple of our God. Hallelujah. Let's exalt His name. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. I want you to say after me, Lord Jesus, open my eyes, grant me understanding to your word. Lord Jesus, cause me to understand spiritually the message and the revelation behind this message. Speak to me, Lord, as an individual. I stand before you. Let my heart be receptive to your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak to you today on the topic, the mantle and the spirit. Turn to someone and say, the mantle and the spirit. Tell another person, the mantle and the spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, I see a possibility of this message. Hallelujah. The mantle and the spirit. 2 Kings chapter 2. From the verse 1 to the verse 15. I want to respond to you the statement that Elijah made to Elisha in the verse 10. Where he said to Elisha, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. If thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be what? So unto thee. And he went on to say that if you do not see me, what do you get?
Nothing.
Nothing. If you don't see me, he said, no, you have asked a hard thing. I will show you why what he asks is a hard thing. I will show you later. But it's a very hard thing. You have asked a hard thing. But if the condition will be, if thou see me, Sister Melissa, when I'm being taken away, then what? You will have the hard thing that you have asked. But if you don't see me, what will you get?
Nothing.
Nothing. So, Elijah said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken, it shall be done unto thee. It shall be done unto thee. In other words, if you are present when I'm taken away, and if you see the manner of my going, then your request shall be made unto you. If you see me, and if you see the manner in which I am being taken away, then your request will be granted unto you. Amen. Now, what was Elisha asking for? What was Elisha asking for? He said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. So, church, what Elisha was asking for is that he's asking to inherit Elisha's gift. He's asking to be the prophet in the stead of Elisha. He's asking to be the man of God, the seer, the prophet, the man of God, the one through whom God speaks. Right? And Elijah made it very clear by this very remarkable statement. If thou see me taken away, then thou shalt have what? A double portion. He asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. But that is not the same as twice of Elijah's spirit. Now, I have always had the impression that he asking for twice, he was asking, I was always have the impression that he was asking for twice of Elijah's spirit, because he used the phrase double portion. All right, double portion. But that did not make sense. That did not make any sense. The reason why it did not make any sense is that you cannot get a quart from a pint bottle. You cannot get 2 gallons from 1 gallon bottle. Is that possible? Talk to me. Now, you cannot get a quart. You know a quart. You cannot get a quart from a pint bottle. You know, pint bottle is half of the quart. So you cannot, just like you cannot get a quart from a pint bottle, or you cannot get a double gallon from 1 gallon container, right? So if he says, give me a double portion of your spirit, what is he asking for? What is he asking for? What Elijah, the Holy Spirit revealed to me that what Elisha was asking for was that he was asking to be the heir of Elijah. He was asking to be the one who will inherit Elijah. Now, the meaning of the word heir, when a father died in the Old Testament, watch this. When the father died and left his property, it was always divided among his children. Now, and the heir, who was always the eldest son, had twice or had 2 portions, while all the other children had 1 portion. So, what it means is that if the father have 4 sons, the father would divide his inheritance into 5. Are you following me? If the father have 4 sons, the father would divide the inheritance into 5. And the elder son will get what? 2 portions. Whilst all the other children, guess what? 1 portion each. If the father have 3 sons, he will divide his inheritance into how many parts? 4 parts. The elder son will get what? 2 parts, which is double parts. And all the other children will get what? 1 part. And that was why Esau was very mad at Jacob. When Jacob stole Esau's birthright, what it means was that at the end of his life, when Isaac is about to die, Isaac is going to divide his inheritance into 3. And Jacob is going to get what? 2 parts. And Esau will get only what? 1 part. Are you understanding me? So, Elisha asking for a double portion of Elijah's spirit does not necessarily mean he's asking for twice. Do you get it now? So if Elisha is to inherit Elijah as his heir, it means he will need 2 things. He will need what? How many things? 2 things. If Elisha is to inherit Elisha, right? If Elisha is to inherit Elijah as his heir, it means he will need 2 things. Now, the first thing is his mantle. Write it down. His mantle. That's the first thing. And the second thing is his spirit. And that is why I came up with the title, The Mantle and the Spirit. Right? So if Elisha is to inherit Elijah as a heir, he will need what? A double portion, 2 things. Right? And the first thing is what? The mantle. And the second thing is what? The spirit. Now, the mantle is external. External. Right? One is external. That's the mantle. And then one is internal. That's what? The spirit. Amen. But to get his request, Elisha first have to be a witness. Everyone say witness. He has to be a witness of how Elijah is taken out of this earth. So that when people or when anyone is to ask, how did Elijah die? Then Elisha will come in and say that Elijah did not really die, but he was taken up into the heavens, not as a dead body, not in a dead body's, in a dead man's body, but he was taken up alive by the Spirit. That is why he said that if thou see me, meaning that if thou be a witness of the fact that I'm being taken up alive, then you will have whatever you ask. And oh, by the way, now the reason why Elijah told Elisha, you have asked a hard thing, is because you can't get a quart. I said it already. You can't get a quart from a pint bottle. You can't get 2 gallons from what? 1 gallon bottle. So it's a hard thing. In other words, he's trying to say, give me what? Double whatever you have. But if I'm to give you double, you can't get something bigger from something smaller. What is upon me, let's say it's 1 gallon of spirit. And now you are asking me to produce 2 gallons of spirit out of 1 gallon. How would that be possible? So he said, thou have asked what? A hard. Thou have asked what? Something impossible. However, if you see me being taken away, it shall be done unto you. So the reason why Elisha have to be a witness is that people are going to ask. People are going to gossip. People are going to say they don't believe it. People are going to say it's not true. People are going to say God killed him somewhere in the corner and God took his dead body away. So Elisha was supposed to follow Elijah over Jordan. He was with him. Over Jericho, he was with him. Over Bethel, he was with him. Everywhere he goes, he was with him until the chariots of horses and the chariots of fire parted them out. Now, how can Elisha testify as a witness if he did not see Elijah being taken away? Tell me, how can you be a witness? Or how can you claim to be a witness of something that you did not see? In America, there are a lot of false witnesses. Especially when something happens and they want to show up on TV, you watch them. And they see the newsmen around, you watch them. They come and stand there and they ask them, what happened? And they tell you, and I heard boom! And I saw some people running, and I saw something move in the corner. They can't say exactly what they want to say. Why? Because they just want to be on TV. If they don't see the details, they still want to say something or want to be interviewed to show up on TV. But that is not the case. Elijah said, if thou see me, if thou behold, if thou see the manner of my taking away, then thou shall have whatever thou ask for. And so when people are gossiping and they say, you know what? Elijah was killed by God. God killed him. God slayed him. And God took his dead body away. Or they'll say, you know what? He died and Elisha or somebody stole the body, like they said about Jesus. Right? Or something happened to him and he died and his body got lost. Then Elisha, who was a witness, will come and say, it's not so. Right? Elijah did not die. I saw with my eyes. I saw Elijah being taken off. So Elijah is alive, but he is not on this earth. He is alive somewhere. Amen. So after Elijah was taken, the verse 12, look at the verse 12. The verse 12 tells us clearly. He said, let's read the verse 12, the beginning, the first verse of the verse 12. And Elisha saw it. Just wait there. And who saw it? And Elisha saw it. That means that Elisha became what? A witness. A witness of what? A witness of the whole rapture, or if you want to call it, the whole ascension. Right? He saw everything, and because he saw everything, he was able to testify that Elijah did not die like other men die. But Elijah was taken up alive. Alright? He is alive somewhere. Now tell me, if you were, now death is an earthly thing. Amen? Death, physical death is an earthly thing. If you did not die physically and you were taken away somewhere, are you going to die over there? If you didn't die here and then you were taken away alive somewhere, then after you go to that place somewhere, then you die there? No, sir. Right? You have to die in order to exit this body. You have to die in order to exit this earth. But Elijah did not die. He was taken alive. That means that Elijah is alive. But somewhere, not on this earth. He is alive wherever he is. Can you see that this is exactly the testimony of the early apostles? That were with Jesus. That is exactly the testimony of the early apostles. They gave witnesses of the fact that Jesus, although died, but he rose again. And he was taken out of this earth. Not as a dead body, but what? As a person who is alive. Right? Who is physically alive. And he is alive even now and forevermore shall be alive. As a proof, look at this, as a proof, that is why Jesus did not depart from the earth immediately after he rose from the dead. He did not depart from the earth immediately. The Bible says he stayed back for 40 days. Everyone say 40 days. He stayed back for 40 days after his resurrection. And if not, and not just that, not just that, he also showed himself to many as a proof. Everyone say proof. He showed himself to many as a proof that he is alive and that he will leave this earth not as a dead man and not in a dead man's body, but he will live here alive as the living Savior. Hallelujah. So when you read the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 1 to 3, it says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Look at verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible truth. Are many infallible proofs by being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of heaven. Listen, church, if Jesus was to just vanish when he rose from the dead, if he was to just vanish from the tomb, then other people will come and say that, you know what, the disciples stole his body and they went to bury it somewhere. And the man is still alive, and they go preaching that the man is still dead, the man is dead. Sorry, and they go preaching that the man is alive. Because of that, Jesus did not depart the earth immediately after he rose from the dead. The Bible says he stayed back for 40 days. And the reason why he stayed back is to give them what? And many infallible proof. Now the word infallible means undeniable. A truth that you cannot deny. Now, in what way can that truth not be denied? He was seen by men and women. Amen. He was seen by both those who were close to him and far off. Amen. He was seen by individuals, small groups, large groups of people, by crowd when he was being taken away. Amen. He was seen by some who believed, some who were skeptical, and some like Thomas who doubted him and said, unless I put my fingers into the wound and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Brother, you know what? This saying of Thomas is something that the Lord revealed to me that is very cruel and disgusting, to say the least, coming from somebody who have seen the Savior, somebody who have been with the Savior, somebody who have seen the working of miracles, including the raising of the dead, somebody who have ate together with him, somebody who have seen all the great miracles that Jesus performed, yet he said, unless I put my hands in his side and stick my finger in the freshly, barely healed wound. Now, who would do that except a wicked person? A 3-day wound is still fresh. To say that until I stick my hands in your side, in the wound that was inflicted only 3 days ago, that have not yet healed. It's cruel. It's wickedness. You see, I never saw it that way until the Holy Ghost brought to my attention that, look at this. This is the same spirit of inaffectionate and incompassionate and wickedness that is in the world. It's the same spirit. Until I stick my hand. Why would you want to stick your hands in somebody's freshly inflicted wound? That is the spirit of wickedness, church. And that is the spirit that we are seeing around today. People with no affection. People with no compassion. People with wicked spirit. They know you are hurting, but they are saying, I want to stick my hands in the wound before I help you. Jesus Christ, I know I'm preaching. I want to stick my hands on your side, on your suffering, on your pain, before I believe you. It's a wicked spirit, church. If you don't see it, it's a wicked spirit. The spirit of Thomas and that saying of Thomas is a wickedness. Spirit of wickedness. Why would you want to stick your hands in somebody's wound? Now think about it. Think about it. Why would you want to put your finger in a wound that is so fresh? Just 3 days old, inflicted, and you want to open back the pain. What do you want to gain from sticking your hands in the wound? It is the spirit of wickedness. It's disgusting. It's horrible. But people like Thomas said, until I do that, I will not believe. But look at what the apostle said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3 to 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3 to 8. Look at what the apostle said. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also receive, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to scriptures, and he was seen by Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present, but some are falling asleep. And that after that he was seen by James, and then of all the apostles, right? And last of all he was seen of me also. And this was Paul talking, right? He was seen of me also, although Paul was not an apostle of the Lamb, but he saw Jesus, remember, on the road to Damascus. Remember, he saw Jesus, and Jesus said, why persecuted thou me? And Paul said, but what am I doing, Lord? He said, you are persecuting my church. So Paul said, there was more than enough witnesses. Cephas, who is Peter, saw him. Then the 11 saw him. Then about 500 brethren saw him. Then James saw him. Then the apostles saw him. Then I, Paul, also saw him. Brethren, is this not enough witness? Is this not enough witness? If this is not enough, I'll give you more. The Bible says in the Gospels, he appeared unto them inside the houses. The Bible also said in the Gospel, Jesus appeared unto them after he died along the roadside, remember? And the Bible also said he appeared to them near the gates of Jerusalem, remember? The Bible also said he appeared to them in the Judean village. And the Bible, I don't have time to give you all the scriptural references, but the Bible also said that he also appeared to them by the seashores of Gennesaret. And the Bible also said he appeared to them on the hillsides of Galilee. So upon all these witnesses, upon all these proofs that he gave them all these proofs to show them that I, Jesus, just like Elijah, was not taken dead, was not taken up in a dead man's body, but that I ascended up unto the Father alive, and I ever liveth. Therefore, because Elisha saw Elijah being taken away, Elisha inherited two things. He inherited Elijah's mantle, and he inherited Elijah's spirit. Elijah's mantle. How did we know that? Look at the verse 13. Quickly, the verse 13. He took up also the mantle of who? Of Elijah that fell from him. So he inherited what? Elijah's mantle. And look at the verse 15. The 15 says, and the sons of the prophet, when they saw Elisha, said, the spirit of Elijah rest upon him. So verse 13 and verse 15 make us to understand that Elisha, because he was a witness, received two things: the mantle, which is physical, and the spirit, which is spiritual. Why did Elisha receive the mantle and the spirit? He received the mantle and the spirit because Elisha was a witness. He was what? A witness. And so is everyone who becomes a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like Elisha received the mantle and the spirit, anyone who becomes a witness of our Lord Jesus Christ also receive his mantle and his what? Spirit. That's why the Bible says in the book of Acts, after the Lord died and he ascended, he said that the disciples, they went about, right, and displayed the power of the Lord, the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Where did they get it from? They got it from what? Their master. Now remember when Jesus was being taken away, there were witnesses. Amen? When Jesus was being taken into the heavens, there were witnesses. The witnesses are who? The disciples. Alright? And then later on, he revealed himself to other apostles. Church, I would like you to understand that there are only 12 apostles of the Lamb, but there are many other apostles. Understand that? Alright, there are only 12 apostles of the Lamb. Right? The 12 apostles of the Lamb are those who lived with him, those who stayed with him, those who ate with him, those who were close to him. The 12 who went everywhere that he went, they were the 12 apostles of the Lamb. But when you read the Bible, there are other apostles, but they are not apostles of the Lamb, like Paul, like Silas, like Barnabas, like Agabus. They are all apostles, but there are only what? 12 apostles of the Lamb. Only 12. Some like John, who had the privilege to lay their head on the bosom, the eternal bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a beauty. They ate with him. They saw his pain. They saw his suffering. And that's why the Bible says that at the end, when God comes, when God comes back at the end, in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he's coming to judge the world. And the Bible said that when he come back, he said that he's coming to rule, judge Israel. He's going to set 12 thrones, right? A throne each for every one of the apostles. And they are going to judge Israel. Amen? And because of that, that is why when Judah hung himself, the number of the apostles of the Lamb reduced from 12 to what? 11. Right? And if it was left 11, then the prophecy that when Christ comes back in the millennium rule, he's going to set up 12 thrones. It means that there's going to be what? A vacant throne. So for that not to happen, when Judas hung himself and died, the Spirit of the Lord led the apostles to appoint another apostle to be in the stead of Judas. And that is when Matthias was appointed to fill in the office of Judas, so that when the millennium comes and Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, descend to judge his people, and when the disciples, 12 disciples, are supposed to sit on the 12 thrones to judge Israel, there will be no vacant throne. There will be no vacant throne. Why? Because somebody has been appointed to take the place of Judah. Brethren, listen to me. The heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Do I have some believers here? Do I have people who believe in the word of the Lord? I said the heaven and earth will pass away, but not an iota shall be taken out of the word of the Lord. To make sure that that prophecy come true, the Spirit of the Lord caused the apostles to appoint somebody in the stead of Judas, so that when the millennium comes, the Bible will not lie. Jesus. Listen, what God has said about your life will come to pass. Whether your enemies like it or not, it shall come to pass. Hallelujah. Whatever the word of the Lord has spoken concerning your destiny, it shall come to pass. The devil may belch, the devil may cry, the devil may scream, but whatever the Lord has said concerning your life shall come to pass. Do I have some believers in the house today? Do you believe the word of the Lord? Habakkuk says, for though it tarries, but write the vision down and make it plain. Write the vision down. For although it tarries, it shall surely come to pass. Shall surely come to pass. It shall surely come to pass. It shall surely come to pass. Tell someone, it shall surely come to pass. Tell someone, it shall surely come to pass. Whatever the Lord has spoken concerning your life, whatever the word of the Lord have declared concerning you, although it may seem like today you are making no headway, it may seem like when you make one step forward, you make two steps backward, but the word of the Lord shall not lie. Whatever he has said will come to pass. Jesus, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? It shall come to pass. Listen, it's God speaking, not man. It's God speaking, not Victor Nyako. Is the word of God speaking, not human? Is the word of God declaring, and not a human being? Whatever he has said concerning your life, you will not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Say, I shall not die. Say with me. Say, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of God. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Oh, I wish somebody would look at the devil in the face and tell the devil, I shall not die. Hallelujah. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The devil is a liar. Someone said his mother-in-law is also a liar. Hallelujah. I believe the word of the Lord. I believe the word of the Lord. I shall not die, but live. Hallelujah! 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 I shall not die. So just like Elisha got, because Elisha was a witness, he inherited the mantle and the spirit. Because you are a witness of Christ, you are going to inherit his mantle and his spirit. His mantle is external, remember? So his mantle is something to put on the outside. Now go tell those who tell you that holiness is an inward thing. Go tell them your pastor said they are liars. Because whatever is in the inside, whatever is on the inside, whatever is on the inside, Whatever is in the inside is what it shows up on the outside. So when you inherit his mantle, you inherit the holiness of Christ. The holiness of Christ does not just stay in your heart, does not just abide in your heart, but it manifests on the outside. Brethren, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm saying it from the bottom of my heart. If we lose the foundations and the facets of our faith, then we have nothing left. We have nothing left. Listen to me. If we ever lose the doctrines and the foundations of our and the teachings of the our faith of the apostolic, the original apostles, what the original apostles have, if we lose it, then we have nothing going for us. Because these days all you see is outward display. All you see, when you go to some of these apostolic churches, all they have, he said, they have a form of godliness, but they are denying the power thereof. This is a power thing. Tell your neighbor, this is a power thing. This is not an outward thing. This is a power thing. Jesus, do I have some believers in the house? This is not a show thing. This is a power. Power to live over sin. Listen, in the days of old, the apostles did not make apologies for sin. They declare victory over sin. That's what they preach. They preach victory over sin. They didn't preach apology over sin. They preach victory over sin. So what you have is a power thing. Tell your neighbor, it's a power thing. Some believers cannot put even the mosquito to flight. But it's a power thing. Some of you, your prayers cannot even put the mosquito to sleep. But it's a power thing. It's a power thing. It's not that they deny, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. The Bible says that of such, turn away. Tell your neighbor, of such, turn away. Tell somebody, of such, turn away. When you see them and they are not willing to live by the word of God, don't hug them. The Bible says run away from them. Turn away. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, of such, turn away. Of such, turn away. Listen to me. Let me speak from you to you from the bottom of my heart. Brethren, if we lose the power of the resurrection, if we lose the essence of the resurrection, and that is Jesus is still alive, if we lose that, we have nothing going for us. Nothing going for us. If we lose the resurrection power, and if we lose the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, we have nothing going, because that was the apostolic testimony of the apostles. That was the apostolic testimony of the apostles of the Lamb, the 12 who were with Jesus. And after them, God raised other apostles who also went by with the same testimony. What was their testimony? That Christ is risen. Hallelujah. That Christ is risen. That Christ is risen. Was not taken away as a dead man. He was taken away. away as a living man. That is the apostolic testimony. We are living in a days that people don't believe that anymore. You'll be surprised. People don't believe. Even some people in the church, they don't believe that Christ is alive. To some of them, they think Christ is alive only in the record of the Bible. Some of them think Christ is alive just because of his influence of the Holy Spirit. Some think that Christ is alive because his church is still alive. Some don't believe that Christ is territorially alive, personally alive. Listen, if you were taken out of this earth and you were not taken out of this earth in a dead man's body, but you were taken in the living body, it means you are alive and forevermore will be alive. So when we talk about Christ being alive, it is not an Anansi story. It is not some folk tale. It is not some little story that somebody made somewhere. He is alive. He said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but he is alive. Let me share this with you and I'll close. Let me share this with you. A young man, he was he's a youth leader in a church. Believed the Lord. Believed every word of the Lord. He studied, did his bachelor's, did his master's, went on to do his PhD in physics. And when he was writing his PhD thesis, he dedicated the thesis to Jesus Christ. He said that this thesis is dedicated to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what the university authorities did? The university authorities called this young man aside. And they said to him politely, you cannot dedicate your thesis to somebody who is dead. He looked at them in the face and he told them, no, my Jesus is alive. How dare you say he's dead? Whilst my Jesus is alive. They tried to persuade him to change the dedication of the thesis to somebody who is alive. But this young man said, I will not change it today. I will not change it tomorrow. If you don't want to give me the degree, you can take it. But I stand by the fact that my Jesus is alive. And he did not change the thesis. Brethren, that is the spirit out there. Now, have you ever also heard of that woman? Should I tell you about that woman? Should I tell you about that woman? Should I tell you about that woman? That woman who was the spiritual fireball of the church that she goes to. You call for fasting, prayer, and fasting, she is there. You call for worship team, she is there. You call for saints to make sacrifices spiritually or physically or anything, she is there. She is the first that you will always count on. One time, she realized that some of the people in the church were leading lives that did not please God. He heard about some of the things that some of the church members were doing. Some of them come to church, and after church, they have their boyfriends and girlfriends in nightclub. And when this came to the attention of this woman, you know what he said? He said, oh Lord, I can't believe what these people who call themselves Christians are doing. They come to church and go back and do all these things. He said, oh my God, if Jesus Christ was to hear of all these things that they were going on, he would have turned in his grave. is great. You fasting, you praying, you call yourself prayer warriors, you laying hands upon people, and you think that Jesus Christ is still in his grave. He said, if Jesus was to hear what they were going on, he would have turned in his grave. Turn in his grave? Where is the power of the resurrection? He is risen. He is alive. And forevermore will be alive. I can't believe. He said Christ would have turned in his grave. Putus, can you believe that? The one laying hands upon people for them to get sick, he's laying hands in the name of Jesus Christ, who is still dead and in his grave. The one who is leading worship in adoration to God, not knowing at the back of her mind, she's been leading worship unto a God who is dead and still in his grave. And that is what is in the world. The world don't believe it, and some in the church still don't believe it. Now let me close with this. Look at what the apostle said. Look at what the apostle Paul said. He said that if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. If Christ be not raised, then your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. That's where you can find it. And when you go on to the verse 19 and 20, he says, if in this world only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. If our hope was limited to this earth, then we are of all men miserable. But thank God that when Christ died on the third day, he rose again. Hallelujah. He rose. I want you to understand that if you are a witness of Christ, you have his mantle and you have his spirit. If you are a true witness of Christ, just like Elisha got the mantle and the spirit, if you are a true witness of your master Jesus Christ, it means you have his mantle and you have what? His spirit. You have what? His mantle and you have what? His spirit. Let me say it again until it rings in. You have what? His mantle and you have what? His spirit. If you are a true witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mantle is external. You see, the mantle was a symbol of Elijah's office. Elijah's mantle was physical. It was a symbol of his office as a prophet. So when Elisha got the mantle, he got the office of the prophet. But then he did not just get the mantle, he also got the spirit, said that even when the sons of the prophet saw Elisha, they bear witness and they said, Elisha have the spirit of Elijah upon him. So Elisha got the mantle and he got what? The spirit. Why? Because he was a witness that Elijah was taken alive. Now you are a spiritual witness that Christ is alive. You are a spiritual witness that Christ was not taken up as a dead body. You have the Bible. You have the truth. You have the words of eternal life. You have the words that says that Christ ever liveth and continue to live forevermore. So because you are a witness, just like Elisha, you have your master's spirit and you have your master's mantle. You have your master's what? Spirit and you have your master's mantle. Let's close our eyes everywhere. We're bringing our service to a close. Let's close our eyes everywhere. You may be here for the first time, the second time, the third time, it doesn't matter how many times you have been into this sanctuary. Today, the word of the Lord to you is that, do you have his mantle and his spirit? If you have not accepted the Lord as your personal savior, or maybe you have accepted the Lord before, but somehow because of circumstances, you let go and you backslided. Today is the day of another opportunity. The Bible says that, for if you shall hear his voice today, harden not your heart. For today is the day of your salvation. I want you to know that you cannot have his mantle and you cannot have his spirit if you are not born again. If you don't have Christ residing in your heart, if you have not accepted him as your Lord and personal Savior, if you have not believed in him and asked him to forgive you of all your sins and to wash you and to make you a brand new person, then you cannot have his mantle and his spirit. But today is your opportunity. Today is the day of your salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow may be too late. This reminds me of some people who were spoken to, who heard the gospel, who heard the eternal words of the Lord. And they said, this year, I will give my life to the Lord. When the year began, a little after the year began, they were gone. One of them that I know very well, at a 31st December all night meeting, this lady had the opportunity to give her life to the Lord. She looked at me in the face and said, not today, but this year I will try to give my life to the Lord. Ever, as long as I live, forget about this other gentleman. He came to church when the church was on Boston Road, and she heard the gospel and she said, I would like to be baptized. When she came to church, she had this oxygen tank and have some tubes all running through the nose and everything. It was scary even to look upon him. But he said that, I want to accept the Lord and I want to be baptized. You know what? We didn't wait a minute. We didn't say, you know what? Let's give him teachings on baptism, like I explained to some of you. We didn't. Because you don't know how much time people have. We took him that Sunday right away At that time, we did not have baptismal pool. We took him to Orak and we baptized the man in water baptism in the name of Jesus on the Sunday. Come Monday, Tuesday, we heard he was dead and gone. He was baptized in Jesus' name on the Sunday. And that very day, the day that it was just one day between his baptism and his death. I have seen so much. And that is why when you hear the gospel preach, Paul said, we beckon people. We plead with people for them to accept the Lord. Dear brother or sister, dear visitor, you did not come here by chance.